Hey, Derek.
Hey, Trey.
This is episode 52.
Yeah.
52? Dude, I don't know how much racing we're going to cover because the Schaefer family had Nash Vegas experience this weekend.
We did. It was fun.
So I want to hear about that. I want to hear about what the kids got out of it, what you got out of it, what Brianna got out of it. You're still married. I'm excited to see that. I mean, she got to see all her favorite riders.
It was
So.
going to be more kidless than it was divorce, but yeah, no, it wasn't bad. It was fun. Nashville's not as nice as I expected it to be.
Oh no,
No.
the downtown area there, right?
Yeah, it's really rough.
Like, yeah.
The kids got to experience what cracked out drug addicts look like, and
Welcome to a big city.
yeah, sitting in the gas stations,
Yeah.
crying and screaming, and yeah. But no, Nashville, it's fun. It's a cool little place. It's not a kid place by any means. Not a lot there for kids to do.
Oh no, it's party zone.
Exactly. It's like the Detroit of Key West, I guess. It's got the same feel to me. We've never been to Nashville. You hear all these great things about it, and we get there and I'm like, where? What's it does look cool under lights. So when the sun goes down and the lights come on, everything looks like it looks beautiful. But during the day, it's rough.
Yeah, it's just that it's the Bachelorette capital of the world now,
Yeah.
Music Row, you got the Ryman Auditorium, the stadium. It's just a growing city, trying to find its footing, I'm guessing.
Yeah, there is a nice, so like we took the kids to the Science Center. It's a cool little experience for them. They've been to another one before, but it's beautiful over there. And you get on top of the Science Center and you see the whole thing. And then they have a planetarium there that shows like what the stars look like over the whole city. And it's just a camera view of,
Oh, that's cool.
so you can see the whole city, which it's beautiful up there.
Yeah.
Obviously it's a city. It has its nice parts, its bad parts. But even the people parking us for Supercross are like, do not go any farther than this lot. Because at night you will not make it back out. I'm like,
Okay.
that's great.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
great walking with kids, but
Hey, you teaches them life lessons. This is the big city. This is why we don't live in the big city.
correct.
So, just lessons learned, but there was a race. There was the East West Showdown. There was some 450s. There was carnage across the board. We do have to thank Ryland Munson for allowing us the opportunity to get to these Supercrosses this year. Having him there as a racer allows us the access that we've all been trying to gain to get experience so that we can further our investment into the sport. So, was fun. You guys had a good weekend, made it a long weekend. Weather seemed like it was, yes, again, the Dirtworks SMS track crew did an amazing
They
job.
did. So the track was really soft when we got there Friday. So we went in, set up pits Friday. Got Ryland's pit all set up, and we walked around and talked to everybody then. But the track was really soft. They weren't doing press day, and they didn't let. And then obviously they didn't do free practice on Saturday. But we left Friday, no chances of rain. Friday morning there was supposed to be rain, and I think we got a little bit, but here it ended up raining Friday night into Saturday and just destroyed everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, that hats off to the Dirtworks crew, SMX track crew, even though all the vans still say
Yeah.
Dirtworks.
Well, they still are Dirtworks,
I
but I
mean,
just don't want
that's
to.
the company. But yeah, so they did an awesome job. Track walk was extremely sticky. Everybody was coming back boots covered in mud, and I'm like, yeah. Matt come back, Matt Dixon, he's like, man, we got a mudder today, and it looked like it. Everything was just disgusting, and after the first qualifying session, the bikes were just, it looked like, not San Francisco, but halfway there,
Yeah.
it was a mess. So they definitely did their job.
And then by the nighttime there was dust.
Yeah,
That's crazy. It's just
once
crazy to
that
me.
sun came out, there was a hard wind there,
Yeah.
so it was really windy and breezy, and with that sun, it dried it all up. And Nissan Stadium is a big U shape, and it's just a wind tunnel, so that definitely helped.
Well, where do we want to start? Because there is a lot. We can go through results or we can touch on topics within the results because each race kind of had its own thing.
Like I told you, the Music City Madness.
Yeah.
It was wild. It doesn't matter. I mean, there's so many topics to discuss instead of going through the results, because it literally was every single race had something go on.
Well, let's start. Let's run through them. We won't run through results. Let's run through them. Heat one, which was the West Coast Heat. By the way, there were 73 or 77 250 guys trying to qualify. Only 30 from the West.
Yeah.
So that means there were 40 something from the East that, hey, I'll give it a shot and give it a go.
Yeah, it was stacked. Pits were full. Yeah. I mean, once the pit party started, it was hard to walk around. Daytona's always a mad fest, but like Nashville was pretty wild.
Well, it's becoming a destination city. So, yeah. Hey, we'll go check this race and we'll go party.
Yeah.
So
that's why we took the kids around early. And we were there Friday. I'm like, if you want to go talk to people, let's go do it now. Because obviously Jet and Hunter were out. They were down at Gibson Guitar Garage doing autographs and all that. So I'm like, you're not going to get to see them, but we can see them first thing Saturday morning before everybody gets in. But dude, we were still in the factory pits. We were talking with Dino and Chase Sexton and all them right before track walk, and they ended up opening up the gates, and it took us like half an hour to get back to the pits. Ooh. To our pits because Ooh. Of the madness.
Yeah, but it's a zoo. I have learned when they open the pits, I'm either sitting in the pit or I'm back in the bleachers just watching at that point, because
yeah, it's not our thing. No. And we warned Oakley of that, our oldest. I'm like, listen, this is how it's going to be. He's like, well, can I go get the autographs and stuff? I'm like, you wait till you see what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about it. And on the way back, he's like, can we just go sit? Yes.
Yeah.
Like, let's get away from this mess.
And it's awesome. It's great. They do it in IndyCar. They do it in IMSA. They do it in Supercross. It's having that access to see what it looks like in the pits. I think it's outstanding. But for those of us that have work to get done, whew, man, it makes it tough. You're just like, beep, beep, honk, honk. You're just trying to get through. But no. 250 West goes first. Ryder DeFrancesco, by the way, the gear this weekend from majority of the teams, I'm going to dig a little bit on Star 250 team. They didn't really look like they played along. But, man, the gear from the teams, TLD was on point. It looked good. Ryder D looked good. It just couldn't hold it together at the end.
No, but the bikes looked awesome, the St. Jude bikes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually seeing those in person was really cool. Husky, I think, had the best bikes. The graphics were kind of just spotty. So they just put like ribbons and puzzle pieces, and it just looked cool. Like it looked like a kid's bike. It was really cool to see all that. And it's obviously like HRC doesn't really play into that kind of stuff. And you know, they'll put a couple of logos here and there, but like Husky really blew it out of the water with that.
Yeah, I really liked, I think it was O'Neill that had the gear that had the coloring book pages for the numbers and the names. And it was just, I'm sure in person there was more intricacies you could see, smaller things, but really cool. Really, really cool. But man, congratulations to the Florida boy racing the West Coast. This was his closest race to home for Supercross this year. And dude, he looked good.
No, RJ was on fire.
Yeah.
Like, unstoppable. There was, I can't pick anybody out of the field that was going to beat him. I mean, Kitchen probably, maybe.
Yeah.
But the track was so tight. There was no passing.
Was it? It looked skinnier in some spots than normal.
Yeah, and it was so tight and quick that there was really, like, if you tried to take an outside, you were losing half a second.
Yeah.
So there was nowhere that you could really make good passes besides just straight hammering and hoping that you could outpower them, or you'd have to hold the throttle just a little bit longer on that coming back through the start.
Well, the carnage started early. Garrett Marchbanks.
Yeah, that was a pretty gnarly hit.
It's crazy for having maybe a small concussion and a thumb injury. He must have been complaining about something, because it took like seven guys to get him off the track. He must have been complaining about some sort of injury, because they were it's a red flag race.
And he laid there a while.
Yeah.
I just seen him. I seen the bike, and I didn't really see him hit. so like the industry seating was right beside the podium, right to the, if you're looking at the screen on the TV, is right to the left of the podium. And there was a jump. It was either a face or a landing right in the way where, right where he was laying. Yeah, yeah. So I didn't see him hit, but it, I mean, he laid there and laid there, but obviously the red flag a race.
Yeah. There's something.
And they couldn't get him off just where that section was.
So that's really, I mean, really RJ did good. Ryder D looked good for a while. Garrett Marchbanks caused himself some stuff. Some of the contenders were further back. Philip Nicoletti announces his retirement at the end of the season, comes out, looks good. Looks yeah. good at the start. Hey, good job. You know, there's no pressure now. Like, hey, I'm told everybody now, mm-hmm. I'm done. So that was what I got out of heat. Julian Bomer did not look good.
No. Not so, at all.
But great. He we'll talk about him later, but anything else out of heat out of the 250 West?
No.
Because the key players, RJ really at this point doesn't have anything to lose because he's back. He's further back.
Yeah, and he did his little interview at the end. I mean, we'll talk about that at the end of the main. But
he's got nothing to lose. Levi didn't look great. I don't know what happened. I can't remember. Was there what happened to Levi in the heat race?
I don't remember the heat race.
Because Joe Shimoda, Levi, and Nate Thrasher were all kind of in the back.
Yeah, because I...
Of qualifying.
Literally the whole main event, I watched Levi. Yeah. So like I kind of missed what was going on. Just I wanted to see... We'll get to it. We'll get to that. That's coming up.
So that was carnage number one. Heat number two, the East Coast, which is really, this was an East Coast round. They invited the West Coast over to play. Tom Vial, this guy takes 2 years and all of a sudden, this was a real Supercross track. And he looked like he figured it out.
Yeah, he's definitely on point. He has got it. Everything is clicking. This was probably the most Supercross track we've had that was actually dry.
Yeah.
So, obviously, he's where he needs to be. Pierce Brown looked really good.
Dude, that guy, he is the enigma. Michelle and I talked about it last week.
So questionable. Like, when he's on, he's on. Yeah. When he's off, he's not. I mean, he's on the ground. So, Cody Shock, just, I'm glad that he got his, you know, congrats to him on his deal. Cody Shock was funding his own program.
Really?
He was riding. He got the bike, whether he paid for the bike or not. He was making zero money through Muckoff.
Okay.
I don't know. A lot of people don't know that. Yeah. He was making $0 through them.
Wow.
He got the ride, or he got the bike, but that was really it. And he got to train. But congrats to him on getting a 3-year deal.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
That's unheard of.
Yeah, that's a big deal in this industry.
But his results are on point. You'd be dumb to not sign him.
Well, he was the top finishing Yamaha in that heat. Yeah. I mean, on a satellite team. It's a good satellite team. I mean, they run a top shelf program. Casey Cochran, 2 weeks in a row, comes out and is proving his worth in the heat races.
Yeah.
So, Max Nancy, Jalik Swole, hold on. Stop the bus. Big news this weekend.
I've had multiple people ask me what happened. It happened that morning.
Oh, it was that morning.
Don't know what it was.
So they were there. There was an interview last night.
I didn't see Evan Ferry there.
Okay, there was an interview last night. Evan was on an interview last night. I haven't had a chance to listen to it.
Yeah.
But I don't know what he said or what he would say.
I need to watch that. So Triumph was kind of by themselves where they were pitting. He might have been there. I don't know. But I personally didn't see Evan Ferry anywhere. I don't know what happened, but I've also heard like the ferries can be kind of difficult.
Here's the deal. They may be difficult, but dude, they packed up their entire life, sold their house in Dade City, and moved to where Triumph is.
Yeah.
That was a big commitment by them to be gone.
Yeah,
He was the test baby. He was everything.
I'm anxious to see what comes out of it or what's actually said.
Yeah.
I don't know that we'll ever get the... Had I not been so busy, I probably would have asked some questions when I was there. But with the kids, it's kind of hard to do business and pleasure, you know? I was trying to navigate both,
They can be
but
a great excuse to get places, but they can also be a great excuse not to be able to get stuff done.
yeah, it was a fine line for me. Like, I was trying. I did get to talk to Starling and Logan Carnow was there, a bunch of different guys, but it was, it was their weekend. It was about seeing the riders they wanted to see. So I didn't get to do everything I wanted to do, but yeah, I don't know what happened with the Fairey Triumph deal, but I'm anxious to see what comes about.
It's a big story only because one, we all knew he was doing something. We didn't know what it was going to be, and then announced that he's going pro with Triumph. And one of my buddies is like, dude, it's the same lesson. Why are we trying to push these kids so fast to move up? And he got hurt. He proved that he could make it in to a main, literally made one, didn't even make a corner in the main. And that's it. Like, that's his start to his pro career.
Which,
And already done with one team.
and that's not a good look.
No.
But him getting bulldozed was not his fault.
No.
But the kid's got talent. Like,
Yeah, but give it some time.
yeah, the kid has talent. So why not? I like you said, we don't know what happens. Maybe something like drastic did happen, and he's like,
Or
you know,
maybe
I'm not.
Mike Brown and Tim just butted heads. Who knows? Like, who knows?
Which is very,
Yeah.
very possible.
But I don't know, but that was the story. Poor Jalik Swole gets kind of does his thing. He's looking pretty good. And by the way, I heard a funny thing. For those of you that see Jalik running around with a little kid, it's not his kid. It's like
No.
his nephew or something, or
Yeah.
it's not Jalik's kid. So Jalik doesn't have a kid.
No.
It's just,
Jalik's still a kid
yeah,
himself.
Jalik's just a kid. It's like a nephew or relative or something. So you can stop all those rumors.
Yeah.
The name we want to touch on, Hayden Deegan. Cr crazy. Here is the one part. There's. I'm going to touch on this in my little thing. Everybody was complaining about how much carnage happened. They can't keep going to Nashville. The only accident that was caused by the track, and it was a rider's fault, was Hayden Deegan in the heat race going down in the sand, knifing the front end. That was the only crash the whole night that was actually track put possibly induced because of the sand, but rider error.
Yeah, it's not really the track. I
No,
mean,
no.
there's sand sections are part of Supercross. It either you navigate it or you don't. And the sand was grippy. It was pulling everybody in. It was deep. But all the other guys are going through. Rylan was riding through it just fine. So that was definitely rider error. I don't. There was nothing track related. Now, I will say the section we were talking about off camera around the finish, you hit the bull turn double, the on off. That was very, very tricky. To get that double, I don't know if so in qualifying, I don't know if anybody got to see it or not. Like Ty Masterpool crashed four times in qualifying. And he wasn't the only like there were all of them were would hit that double, and the rut got so deep to hit the on off that it would totally G out the bike, and they would come out sideways and just land on the face or shoot them off the track. Or that section was a little, I think it needed change just a little bit. To pull that double out of the turn was almost, I mean, not impossible because they were doing it, but you had to really be powering through that to get it. So to me, that's the only track that was more the track issue than anything else. That sand is just
But
sand.
it made it exciting because, oh boy, we get to watch Deegan come through the group or
Yeah.
through the pack. Cameron McAdoo had a crash in qualifying that really wasn't his fault, but it ruined his season. And then we'll talk about him ruining. Poor Mitch Payton must have cracked the Coors Light at the first lap and just like put me on a plane. I'm going home
He
because.
actually was smiling the Saturday morning. Like,
Oh.
he was sitting outside. He looked all giddy. I bet he wasn't by the end of the
No,
night,
no, no,
but.
no. We'll get to that. Like, I'm guessing the one thing I want to touch on before we move on is Gage Linville has he's training with a heart ramp. He's making progress. He was not going to give up to Deegan come hell or high water. And I don't know if that was because the track was so hard to pass on or if he was just feeling it, but dadgummit, that guy
He was riding well.
He was giving it
like there the was. Beans. It wasn't just him. Even when he fell back, like he, no matter who it was in yeah. front of him or behind him, he was either holding them off or powering towards them. It was actually really cool to watch him ride.
Yeah.
Like I spent most of my time watching that heat, you know, focusing on Linville because he was, I think he was riding better than half the guys out there.
He was doing good. Dirt Bike Depot, they got a 4-man squad with 4 different bikes. That cool little setup. But no, he's doing what a privateer does. They start to make progress.
Yeah. Another track problem. A flat corner after the whoops.
Dude, those
whoops were almost unskimmable. They were huge.
Yeah.
And you would hit that section and then come into the whoops, and they were just obviously everybody was jumping them. You get a couple skims here and there, but that flat corner afterwards, like if you screw up, you're going straight into the sand.
Yeah.
And head on into traffic. So,
and by the way, when you have a track, my consensus on the track was it was just a crappy track. When you have a track that has 2 180 degree flat, put on the brakes, first gear corners, that's not a good track. It was technical, and the racing ended up being good, but the track's just not fun. It was not a fun track to watch. Like, well, from TV, now in the stands it's different because you can watch a lot of different things, but on TV the only thing I can watch is what they're showing me.
Yeah.
And it's just not a fun track.
And like I told Oakley, our oldest, because he's been to Supercross but too young to remember it, I'm like, these tracks are much smaller in person.
Yeah.
And I said, so prepare yourself, they look huge on TV and they're not. And we get up, Nissan Stadium's very small. The stadium itself, well,
they're building that brand new one.
Yeah.
It's not going to be so small.
No, but Nissan Stadium is a very tight, compact stadium.
Yeah.
And, we get in there and he's like, this is tiny. This is not what I expected. I'm like, no, they're very small. So the floor space, it was not very big.
The jumps are big, but the space is small. Yeah,
they made that place. It was so peaky.
Yeah.
Everything was so peaky, but.
Well, it's just sad. Are we going 450s or LCQ?
450s.
So, I don't know. I did not enjoy the track as a customer watching on TV. it's just not fun.
No.
Ken Roczen gets a start in Heat 1, and we're like, all right, cool. Ken Roczen's night tonight.
Ken looked great.
We're gonna talk about Ken a little later, and oh man, I feel bad for. Active Ride has been doing such a good job. We're gonna talk about that a little later. But Adam Ciancerillo, Ken stalls, and of course, in the flat corner, he stalls. So, oh my God, Adam Ciancerillo gonna get a heat race win. Oh boy, here comes Hunter Lawrence.
I honestly had Adam Ciancerillo for the win. Honestly, he looks so smooth, so good. The crowd was going absolutely nuts for him.
Yeah.
That place was so loud for Ciancerillo. It was for when they would come around our corner right there at the mechanics area, they'd hit that double. The screaming was just unbelievable. But I honestly had it. But then here comes Hunter Lawrence.
And I can tell you right now, Hunter did not want to pass him, but Hunter's job is to win.
Yeah.
On that same vein, AC would not have wanted Hunter to give him the win.
Yeah.
He would he love to win a race before he retires? Yes. Would he want the race given to him? No.
But if he keeps riding like that, I don't see it not happening. We got 3 left. If Adam can come out with that kind of confidence and mentality, I think there's a shot. I'm not saying like it's for sure done deal. He's going to get a heat win.
Yeah.
There's a shot because he was so smooth, and he's good at tracks like that. You know, Adam is really good with tight technical.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
But Adam looked good. Chase Sexton came from like nowhere to finally get up. I just want to say Josh Hill, welcome back. Like you decided Nashville was a cool city and you just wanted to come race. Like,
yeah. And they were both there.
And puts it straight in, like straight into the main. So the carnage we're going to talk about for that, because there's carnage every single race, was Kenny stalling.
Yep.
That was he had, I think he would have won that heat race.
And Justin Hill did not
qualify out of the.
No, but he, trying to think if he went down or not. Because Justin Hill should not be there.
Yeah.
He was.
Not 19th.
No.
Yeah.
I can't remember what happened, but like he should have been up there, especially over his brother. They're both really good.
Yeah. But right now, Justin's actually still racing.
Justin still races. He got landed on at Daytona.
Yeah.
And
by Noren.
Yeah. And he still came back. I mean, obviously, he ended up doing it, but
yeah,
still, he should not have been where he was. I just can't remember what happened.
But yeah, so interesting. Kyle Chisholm being Kyle Chisholm. Benny Bloss putting it into the main directly. God, that guy looks so big on the bike. It's like someone made a joke on Twitter, X, whatever you call it. It is so unfair that Benny has to ride a super mini while everybody's riding four.
Now, oh my God, yeah. And it's no joke. He's huge. He's absolutely towering.
Yeah.
I mean, congrats to Dean Wilson on his comeback after his injury.
Yeah, because he's kind of riding it out as well, too, right?
Yeah.
He's.
I think it's about over, but yeah. I don't know.
There's going to be some interesting rides for next year. I cannot wait. I know we talk about it, but I hate to see people leave, but dang, there's going to be some openings next year.
Yeah. Well, possibly.
Yeah. So, Hunter, we have a Lawrence victory in Heat 1. We thought we were going to have a Cian Cirillo victory, and my God, the stadium would have gone nuts. We get to Heat 2. It's the Jet Lawrence show.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
You can't get mad either.
Like, he looks so good.
He just does his job. It's weird. He's kind of a professional.
Getting there.
Maybe some people can take some. And by the way, for all these people that say these guys need to focus on riding, for all you that dig on the guys that do the blogs, that bring you into their life, that they do a podcast, that they, by the way, Jet and Hunter do way more. They have a Friday night VIP.
Yep.
They have a Saturday VIP.
They're typically signing somewhere.
Yes.
In the city that they're in. Their VIP experience during the race is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, there's a section, if you've never been to Supercross, or if you have been to Supercross, you know what the typical pit setup looks like. You know, the factory rigs. They have that just for their VIP experience, which is absolutely mind-blowing how much it costs. But the amount of people that are in there, it's crazy. It looks like a wedding setup, like a wedding venue setup. Like, they have it all roped off. I actually have a picture of it. Maybe we can add it in or something. But they have arcade games. And there's literally shipping containers that have the Lawrence experience on it.
Yeah.
And it's full of arcade games. And then they have tables with tablecloths and centerpieces. And their bikes are sitting there. And it's just mind-blowing.
And they're doing that. Star has theirs,
mm-hmm.
and Kawasaki has theirs. So those three manufacturers are all doing that. That's why they kind of get their own little area, because they're all doing something to bring fans, mm-hmm. different fans, a higher, won't say higher level, that's not correct, but a different paying person.
The people that want to, the people that want to be there for the experience.
Yeah.
You know, you can literally take your experience to the max.
Yeah. But so let's get off that bandwagon of digging on these guys. These guys are doing the work. All of them are doing the work, but they can only do the work for so long before they have to take a break.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you right now, I know Jet and Hunter are probably making a good living, but they probably deep down inside would rather be at the hotel on Friday and chilling than having to entertain 17 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Oh, it would get exhausting.
Yeah.
Like,
to try to be on every week.
It even gets exhausting if, from our standpoint, if you get a bunch of fans coming in. I'm not the rider.
Yeah.
You get a bunch of fans coming in, like, you know, getting on. It's cool. I do love the asking for autographs and your fans coming in to talk with Rylan or, you know, I hand out a lot of our podcast stickers to kids and, stuff like that. Like, it can get to a point that it gets exhausting. Can you imagine being the top of the leaderboard, just doing this constantly. Everywhere you go, it's pictures and signing,
and you're winning.
Yeah, like that's what I mean. You're at the top, so everybody knows you, whether they know you or not. They still know you. It would be exhausting for sure.
Yeah. So heat two, Jet does Jet things. Cooper Webb looking spicy. I was like, all right, cool. Eli, Malcolm Stewart, congratulations. A fourth in the heat, looking good. Jason Anderson. I'm trying to think, what was Ty Masterpool dead last in the heat? I don't know. You were there. We didn't get to see anything, so he didn't finish. I don't know. Oh, he went down at the start. Didn't
yeah. Ty went down.
Did he loop out at the start?
No.
Someone looped out. I thought at the start.
It might have been him. I don't remember. I remember him going down, and he tried to come back and then ended up pulling off because there was no chance in making it.
But, oh, the note, Colt Nichols, Factory Beta, has a bad start, works his way back up, but cannot close the gap to get to Mitch Oldenburg.
Mm.
And so we have a factory racer going to the LCQ again this year.
Wasn't the only one. I mean, was he the only one that night? I thought one of the for some reason I thought Nate Thrasher didn't make it in.
No, Romano.
Romano.
Romano. Romano might be packing bags.
And Dax Bennett.
Yeah.
But I mean that he's rookie, but still. Factory rides. But they what was I getting at with that? I don't remember. But the track was so start dependent.
Yeah.
Like I said, there was hardly passing lanes. There was, if you got a bad start, it was almost over.
Well, because of that jump in the middle of the start lane, there were lanes that were squished. There were narrower spots because that made the track wider.
Yeah.
Like that because you still have to get 22 riders on the gate, and having a 10-foot, you know, from tip to tip jump. You've added now another 10 feet across that you can't utilize somewhere else.
Yeah.
It looked like there were merge lanes on that track. I mean, honestly, it's what it looked like. But so we go to the LCQs, 250. We got East versus West in the LCQ. We got factory guys in the LCQ. Julian Beaumaire, he did not look good. He looked good in the LCQ.
As you would expect. You would hope, anyway. So Julian Beaumaire, Dax Bennett, Nicholas Romano. I mean, it was kind of a stacked LCQ in
that's
a way.
That's what we were saying, sitting on the couch. I'm like, dude, there are some big names. Of course, it's East versus West.
And that's pretty typical for this race. Yeah. I mean, you're getting the best of the best and all putting it together. But you would expect these guys to already be there.
But would you expect, I mean, if you have names like Beaumaire, Bennett, Hawkins, hold on, Romano, that's your top four. Yeah. Should be your top four.
Should be.
But what do we have?
March. Yeah. I mean, Marchbanks. He didn't start, but he was hurt. But he would have been there. That would have made it that much more crazy.
But we have a Gage Linville sighting again. The dude is put it together this night.
Yeah, he was so excited.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, why not?
You should be.
You just beat the best.
Yeah.
Together.
And you were racing in the heat. You were riding with the best. Yeah. I mean, like I said, he looked great all night.
And then Daxon Bennick, which that's probably a contract saver to get in.
Yeah.
Romano gets a bad start. And then 14. I'm sorry. You're on a factory bike. You don't finish 14th in the LCQ. I know there was some carnage, but you can't finish 14th.
You should be able to come back.
Yeah. Whether you miss or not, you don't finish 14th.
Yeah.
So, and then Henry Miller doing what Henry Miller's done this year. He's kind of been that guy on the East Coast. Just,
yeah.
Because I feel like the East Coast is actually maybe a tick stronger overall. Maybe.
Yeah. I can agree.
Just a little bit. And he's, well, guess what? He had to go to the LCQ and still put it in.
Yeah.
So it was 3-1 if you're keeping score at home. The West put one in, the East put three in. And that's really, I think, the Gage Linville and the fact that Romano did not do what Star expects their riders to do were the touch points on for me on that one. 450. We talked about Justin Hill finished almost dead last.
Yeah. Like I said, he did what he needed to do at the end.
And he looked good. He looked good doing it.
Yeah.
Like, congratulations.
He looked like he was having fun.
Yeah.
For sure. Grant Harlan, Jeremy Hand, Freddie Norn, Colt Nichols, Josh Cartwright. Ty was coming. He had a terrible start. I honestly, a couple more laps, I think Ty probably could have made his way. It would have been close.
Yeah.
But he was putting on a charge. If he wouldn't have had such a bad day altogether, I don't think he would have had a problem making the main at all. Justin Starling looked really, really good.
And what's crazy is he felt really, really bad. Like he's one of those guys, if you follow this sport, follow him, because he actually will – he kind of will break it down after each section. Like, dude, I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling this way. And he's like, dude, this track is
– Starling is such a humble guy, and he's not afraid to tell you what it's actually like and – the things that he's doing by himself. By the way, he has a baby due like today.
Yeah.
And he's still there. It's either today or next week.
And he was scooting to get home.
Yeah.
To be there.
And he's by himself doing it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it's one of those things like, cool. You know, Tristan Lane finished ninth out of the C group qualifying. So he came from the track is the worst, qualified to get in, and then finished ninth in the LCQ. So he's, for a guy like Tristan Lane, that's a good night. Of course, he wants to make the main. He's not happy he didn't make the main, but he got paid. He got good exposure. You were saying his bike looked cool.
Yeah, his bike was awesome. The
I'm sorry, Tristan Lane. Yeah, I meant Lane Shaw, but Tristan
Lane. Lane Shaw. So, I mean, we can go to him. His bike was so cool. It was the purple Yamaha wheels are awesome when they put these bikes together. And like his whole bike was purple, but the anodized sprockets that he had that were like holographic when they'd hit the sun, they'd change colors. That's cool. It was just the bike looked awesome.
Was his long haired mechanic there with the Husky?
I wasn't paying attention. I was so fascinated by the look of his bike. I think he had one of the best looking bikes there this weekend.
His mechanic is a long haired dude. I'm sure it was a racer at some point. He's got like a Husky. That Husky is the coolest dog. Like, just sits kind of like reminiscent, just sits and waits. And like, he told him, he's like, you don't need to be begging for food. I told you to lay down. And the dog's like, okay, lay down. No, but really the grand scheme of things, congratulations, Justin Hill, Grant Harlan, welcome back. I mean, he has battled through this injury and I mean, he's not number 23 for no reason. And the fact that he's having to work so hard to get that feeling back, yeah, it's good LCQ. There was some good racing. There wasn't a lot of carnage in this one.
No.
So that was the one respite.
Yeah. Speaking of Cole bikes, I did see a Cole experience this weekend. I'm not going to mention riders and numbers because they're not allowed to promote themselves there, which is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
If you don't know, you cannot sell T-shirts. You cannot sell anything in the pits unless it is Feld approved, and
which means you have to give a piece of that to Feld.
Yeah, and obviously when it comes to anything privateer related, it is not going to happen. So anyway, this one rider put no graphics or anything on his bike except for numbers, and for $20 you could sign his bike. And he ended up, I think it was before the night show even, he had 200 signatures.
Wow.
Or 100 or 200 signatures. And that was just in qualifying. You know, that the pit party was still going on. But it was cool. He had just a blank bike with numbers on it and signatures all over the thing. So that was a really good idea.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't do it, but he did it. I mean, he got away with it. And he didn't really care what the repercussions were. But it was a cool experience to see that.
That's cool.
And you get all these people that can say that they had their name on that bike. So
did you sign it?
I did not sign it. Oh, no.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
I was there for business.
Hey, you're supporting
I
by the
know,
team.
I honestly really thought about it. I was so busy with what I was doing, but the bathrooms are right there, so I walked past it, I don't know how many times, and there's constantly people just signing it. It was cool.
Awesome. Well, let's jump into Carnage Fest 1, which is they used to call them the shootouts, but I guess that has a negative connotation, so now we have to call them
Yeah,
showdowns.
especially in a big city like that, you
Yeah,
can't
yeah,
say that.
yeah.
But
So,
yeah, no, it was the Mitch Payton show. Those boys, you get off to the start, good start.
let's give the props where props are due. RJ did what he had to do, got a hole shot.
Yeah,
So
and it's not
that's step number
normal.
one.
Yeah,
He got a
that's
hole shot.
not normal.
And in his mind, he has to go out and win because he has no chance of winning this title because he's too far back.
He knew he could salvage some points,
Yes.
and put a dent in it. But
Job number one, get the hole shot, get out of the way.
and like he said, I never would I expect to get a red plate.
Yeah.
And he's like, that was nowhere in my mind. I just wanted to salvage some points.
And then one of his competitors decided to help him out.
Yeah, and take out each other.
Yeah. I wonder what the conversation was with McAdoo and Mitch after that.
I don't know, because McAdoo was ahead when it happened. I mean, but you get into your right. I mean, you both have the red plate,
Yeah,
so
like you don't take each other out.
no, it wasn't on purpose. But
No, but go straight.
yeah, you're at a professional level. You should be holding a line. You can hear the bike right beside you. You would think you could. I don't know. I can't imagine that team meeting was
Ooh.
overly fun at the end,
No.
because he ruined it for both of them.
Both of them. Both of them. I mean, I hate to say, I'm not making light of it, but literally, like you said, Mitch Payton is smiling. I mean, he lost Fortner early, but this Levi Kitchen kid is like, oh my God, this guy's McAdoo is talking all this great talk on where my feet are. He forgot where his feet were yesterday or Saturday. And they both go down. They're in a heap. And all of a sudden, Levi Kitchen not only is on the ground, hey, for good measure, let's run over him, run through him. So someone literally ran
Run,
through him.
yeah, run right over top of them.
McAdoo tries to get up. McAdoo cannot make it. I don't know how they grow him out west. We didn't see Kitchen. Oh man, I hope Kitchen gets up. I hope Kitchen gets up. And then all of a sudden they pan on TV. You're there live. All of a sudden, Kitchen's riding. He's in 19th, and we're like, oh my, and he's actually trying. And you can tell, like, he is not feeling it.
No, but he was pushing, and
Yes.
but like I said, that track was so short and hard to pass as it is. I looked at my oldest. I'm like, there's no way he's coming back.
Yeah.
Usually Kitchen can put on a charge and get back up top, and but obviously after getting run over, but he's a savage for getting up with
Ooh.
broken ribs and riding an
Yeah.
entire main. But he was that happened right on that bowl turn, and we could not see. He was down in the bowl turn, and the bowl turn was what we could see. So I didn't even know how it happened until later on. I just seen those two come in and they didn't come back out.
Yeah.
I never expected that one took took the other one out, but it
And
is what it is.
we know it wasn't on purpose. We're not making McAdoo didn't go in there to clean him out. McAdoo, but you have the red plate in both coasts. All you have to do is finish strong.
Yeah,
And we have a
and keep
battle.
it.
Yeah, and keep
Yeah.
it. And Kitchen's kind of like had a good lead. He
Yeah.
had a good points lead.
I do think he can get it back. The way he's riding is phenomenal, but you got broken
He's
ribs.
got a week rest. That's what he's got.
Yeah.
1 week. Oh, and then by the way, you go to Denver where it's altitude. You're dealing with lung with ribs, and then you go to Utah, which is a altitude, and you're dealing with the East West.
Yeah, ribs are not fun.
No.
You bend the wrong way and you're in screaming pain.
Don't
So
laugh.
exactly. So can you imagine breathing hard or landing a jump the wrong way? I mean, it's going to be a fight.
So,
So
but no, RJ does what RJ needs to do, goes out and gets the win. Congratulations to Levi for getting up and getting back to 14th. I mean, I know that doesn't sound like much, but every position he gained was another point he got back. And he was coming for 13th and 13th and 14th, 13th and 12th. But I like you said, the fact that he even got up and rode, that probably Mitch is pissed, but Mitch is probably like, oh, I got a real man on my hands.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that McAdoo pulled off. I mean, he was already so far down at that point, it wouldn't have made a difference.
Unless that shoulder just was really done.
I mean, you could tell he was in pain.
Yeah. Well, you could tell it in the heat race.
Yeah.
And then to go out there, and I'm sure all he was going to try to do in the main was just kind of stay out of the way and baby it along. But we already lost Max Volin. They lost Forkner. And it's like, okay, we got these two. Oh, my God, we're actually leading the points. And all of a sudden it's like, all right, well, that was fun.
Yeah, now we're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're going to go to the East Coast next weekend in Philly. We don't even know if there's going to be a PC bike on the line.
Yeah, it's all up in the air right now.
That's
and
crazy.
I guarantee you that's going to be a like last minute press conference.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to try to get them out there.
But Joe Shimoda, the enigma wrapped in a riddle, cannot get out of his own way and all of a sudden makes these late season charges and, oh, he's second.
Mm.
The most quiet second, because I don't even think they covered him much in the race.
I don't know.
I mean, we watched, and I'm like, Joe's in second.
He was there the whole time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Did what he needed to do.
Started second, rode in second.
What he should have done the entire season, that's what he's capable of.
He should be in this West Coast mix.
Yeah, he just can't keep the bike on two wheels.
No.
But he did.
But the biggest gainer of the night, Tom Vielle.
Mm-hmm.
He got rid of one competitor and kept the other competitor at the same distance, which is kind of funny. Because they were all laughing, like Hayden Deegan gained points on McAdoo, but he's exactly the same amount of points down that he was down for McAdoo.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So Tom Vielle third. Dude, the guy's just riding.
Star did not have a good night.
No. Jordan Smith, your top star performer, gets fourth. Jalik Swole, congratulations. What a good ride to just quietly finish fifth.
He's been doing it like really well, just smooth and consistent.
Yeah,
I mean, his couple get offs didn't help, but for a brand new team, brand new bike, I think Triumph's doing pretty well with him.
And I think the rest of the Hayden Deegan, Max Ancy, Chance Hymus. Chance Hymus was invisible all night.
Yeah,
he was completely invisible, like completely overshadowed by Shimoda. In the heat race, overshadowed.
I think there was just so much with the whole East-West that he kind of like the forgotten child.
Yeah, yeah. Like just stay out of the way and finish.
Yeah.
Julian Beaumaire, he is the East Coast experiment for KTM. He's a freshman. I was going to say he's a freshman. He's a rookie. He's a rookie. Is KTM satisfied?
I mean, I would be. He had a rough night, but he's been getting the results.
Yeah.
He's a rookie, straight out of futures to what he's doing.
Okay,
I'd be pretty happy with him.
Philip Nicoletti, I don't know. I can't call him Philip. I'm reading the thing. It's Phil Nicoletti. Did you see his post? Great. This is what we're gonna miss from Phil. He gives his race rundown.
Mm-hmm.
Ran fifth and sixth most of the night. This is Phil's words, not mine. The kids figured out the jump line and the whoops. I don't even know why we have whoops. They're lame as fuck. Why do we only have 9 whoops?
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out the jump line. I finished 10th.
Yeah, he's so straightforward.
Yeah. Like, and that's Phil's words, not mine. I ad-lib some because I can't remember the exact quote, but he's like, what are we doing? Like, so you make 9 whoops, it's 3 triples. Like, let's do something to give us 8, give us 10, give us 11. Do something so that you can't just go triple, triple, triple and be done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he's, I don't know. It's like I said, those whoops were so jumpy anyway, and not even whoops that the roles that they're coming up with are kind of getting out of hand. You think they're safer, but they're not.
We're going to miss him. Cody Shock finished 12th. In a field like this, that's not bad. Pierce Brown finished 11th. He's quietly still there. I mean, The one that I want to talk, Ryder DeFrancesco went down, had a bad night.
Yep.
Daxton Bennick had a bad night. Gage Linville, guess what? In that field,
he did well.
You did well.
Yeah.
And you got a point. Nate Thrasher, like you said, can you imagine being star? Daxton, Nate Thrasher, and Hayden outside the top five. You had one guy in the top five. You had four riders there, and you had one guy in the top five. Like, that's not good.
Not a good look.
No. No, 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 no. So, really, the carnage was first lap. That was it. That set the tone. We go to an East Coast round, so I pulled up the East Coast points. Right now, it's Vial. Now, I have heard rumors, and I don't know. It could be Deegan's like, hey, man, I'm not going to be nice. You're 13 points down. You do dumb stuff.
Yeah.
It's not going to end well for you.
No. No, you can – I mean – it's the Deegan mentality, though.
You're 13 points down. You got to go earn it. Like, you don't you don't go take him out.
And if he takes him out, it's not going to be pretty.
No.
There will be – I think there will be some serious repercussions for that. You know, the opening ceremonies were phenomenal there. But Deegan comes out, and it was like the Deegan show.
Yeah.
And I was actually really irritated about that. It was – they briefly showed everybody else, and Deegan's opening ceremony was like a minute, 2 minutes long compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
It was, he's a good rider, okay? But obviously the hype around him, everybody talks that the Lawrence hype is ridiculous, is like out of control. The Deegan hype is way out of control.
Well, he is, remember, Feld is entertainment, and he is entertainment.
Very true, but he's not a good entertainer. He's not. He's just.
He's a good racer. Let him race.
Yeah.
Let him race. Just be a racer.
And I get the vlogging, and they're very popular with everything they do outside of racing. I mean, it's still racing related, but
what he needs to do is go spend 6 months living with Tomac in the woods in Colorado, with no, like, hey, we're gonna take a 6 month hiatus from Hayden. And we're going to go put him with a professional.
Yeah.
And they're not, it's not about riding. It's about living life like a professional.
Yeah.
And we're going to go that
route. Yeah, because Tomac was out downtown Nashville on the Friday evening at the Cowboy Boot Shop. Yeah. Just looking at boots and, you know, being a human.
Yeah.
You don't get that really with.
No, but he's a professional and he's enjoying his role right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hate to keep jumping on, but you're giving us too much to talk about.
Yeah,
just be a professional. But really, in the East, it's Pierce Brown. There's no one close. There's no one close right now. So it's Tom Vial, Hayden Deegan, and Hayden Deegan is a long way away. They got one round in the East, and then we go to another shootout. If you don't close the gap a lot this weekend, if he gets 3 points on him. It's still a 10-point going into the last round. You have to hope for something bad to happen, or he has something. He finishes 20th, and you win the East-West shootout. Then you've earned it.
Yeah.
But to say, oh, I'm not going to be nice, well, that's just dumb. Because really, in qualifying, it's going to be you too. Like, I'm not expecting McAdoo to be there.
No, but if he is, that would be awesome. It'd be a three-way battle. I mean, it's not really a battle. Vial has kind of separated himself at this point, but it's Supercross. I mean, look, anything can happen. But if you put McAdoo in that mix, I'm not. I think McAdoo's faster than Deegan. I truthfully think so. This year, anyway.
Yeah.
He's got way more experience. He's much more humble. I don't know. I hope to see McAdoo there. I hope everything's all right. Maybe he can rest a little bit, but it's.
Yeah.
If he is there, I don't see him riding to his potential.
Strength-wise, you're always concerned.
Yeah.
On Vial, I like the kid. He's good. He's got a nice youthful look about him. I know he's been here now for a little over a year. Question, can we stop coaching him, Marvin, in French, and can we work on the English a little bit? Because you've been here over a year, and the accent is terrible
It's pretty bad.
Like, you've been here. I understand you are French. I get it. You're cool. But right now, you it's hard to listen to.
You're talking to people in English, so yeah. Yeah, you got to figure it out a little bit better.
I understand you're getting coached by Marvin and you're working and all that. It's good. That's
cool.
You're
probably talking French the whole time.
So you got to like break it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we want to like you. Like you're a good writer. You're not causing conflict. You're doing your thing.
Yeah.
You're being a professional. But I can't listen to you.
I got a wife who's a speech therapist. If he needs anything, we can probably give a pretty good discount.
And that coming from someone who only speaks one language and this is his second language.
Yeah.
But if this is where you want to make your living, please embrace your accent, but give us a good English voice so that we can understand you better.
But, I agree.
So now the main show, which we thought, okay, it can't get any more carnage than what we've already seen. Eli Tomac goes and gets a whole shot and looked good.
Yeah.
He looked
good all day.
I didn't. The bad thing, deep down inside, I am the Eli bandwagon rider. I saw Jet behind him the whole time. I'm like, I don't know if he can keep him back there. I don't know. Ken was putting pressure on him. And I was like, okay, maybe that's going to give, because those early laps, I'm like, okay, he's gonna put pressure on him. And then it became the Jet and Eli show, and it was like...
Well, Ken was doing that triple where he blew his shock out.
Yeah.
He was the first one to do that. So he was hitting that double in front of the mechanics area, and then coming out and hitting that triple.
How did these guys see behind him? Because Tomac then started tripling, and he was ahead. So how do they see it?
The big screen was pretty much in their view all the time. So, and you can also hear, like, Ken comes through that section. When he did that, you could hear just the screaming. So you kind of knew something was happening. And I'm sure they were eyeballing it, like, that's doable. It's going through your head the whole time that you're riding. You know, you're really thinking about what you can do. If I do, anyway.
That was a big double, too, across the finish line or start line.
That thing's huge.
That was a big double.
I looked at that in qualifying, and I'm like, somebody's going to hit that. But that's, like, big.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, Roxon nailed it. Deegan hit it at one point.
Munoz hit it.
Yeah. And I think Hardy was honestly one of the first ones to do it. But Deegan hit it. But Ken hit it, and then Ken didn't hit that triple till the night show. But he was the first one to hit that triple. And I watched that. I'm like, good Lord.
They're launching the thing.
Like, that thing was a booter. And then Tomac, then Jet.
And then Jet started doing it from further inside.
Yeah. But yeah, Jet was doing it from the inside, which was nuts.
Yeah,
because it was huge and it shot you. But even Webb wasn't doing it.
No.
But that jump is what separated everybody because it gave him such a drive into the whoops.
Because Webb was like, you know what, I'm just gonna I'm gonna do what I can do. I'm not gonna throw it away tonight. But okay, let's get into it. What happened first, the chicken or the egg? Was it Sexton or was it? It was Sexton.
Sexton was the first one to break his throttle.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what happened.
Well, I saw a video of him coming by the jump, by it, and I can't tell if he was trying to do the double or not. But I've never seen a professional make a wheelie jump.
I was right there on that turn where they doubled and went into that straight section at the mechanics area. Like, that's right where we were sitting. He doubled it. I was actually looking out. I heard nothing abnormal. I didn't see any rocks or anybody that would have thrown a rock right in front of him to break his throttle, the way he said. And you ride outdoors, woodsy stuff. How many times have you seen a broken throttle housing?
Yeah, it's not.
Especially Supercross.
Yeah.
I've taken some gnarly wrecks and never broken my throttle housing, ever.
And they kind of stick up high now.
Yeah, so and you're telling me that there's been a lot of shady stuff out of the KTM team and Chase Sexton this year, like his bike stalling,
his suspension
not being able to get it running,
not their suspension.
Yeah, there's a lot of shady stuff, but I think either he was not committed enough when he hit that jump, or he whiskey throttled right at the end. I think when he pulled off, he got back just a little bit and whiskey throttled that thing and shot. I mean, you could tell he was hanging off the back of the bike when he, I don't think the bike was wide open. The bike itself, I think Chase did it, because Chase is my oldest favorite rider, and he's like, "Oh no, oh no!" And that's when I looked,
yeah.
And you could just see him launching. I truthfully think it was rider air.
And I have nothing against Chase, because
he's
one of that was a nasty crash,
mm-hmm.
And the fact that he says there's nothing wrong, I joked with my wife this morning. I said, it's going to be a talking point. I said, did he get up from that crash, hold his arm, and say, I'm not getting back on that thing?
I think he was just pissed. He come through the tunnel, because that's right where we were at was the tunnel. He come through the tunnel. The A-Star medical crew come up, grabbed hold of his arm, and Chase grabbed the medical crew's arm and threw him, and then just walked off. I just think it was pure anger.
Yeah.
I don't think it had anything to do with the bike. It just, he knew he screwed up. I think that's what it was. And he just pissed off at himself, and he walked off. So
we lost one.
So, you know, we get that. Kenny comes up. He's obviously the one launching that triple.
Yeah.
Brand new suspension.
Less than three hours
on
the body.
On that suspension, lands, and the shock just explodes.
I've ridden a lot. I've seen a lot. I've been to a lot of races, watched a lot of races. I don't care if it's amateur supercross, where you would think that stuff would happen. I've outdoors, woodsy. Yeah. I have never seen what I saw Saturday night.
It's funny when you're sitting in the stands and you hear the people's analogies of what's going on. And he lands, and obviously it just puffs the smoke, and they're like, he's blowing his bike up. No, that suspension just exploded.
I thought maybe he lost a pipe or something.
And most people don't understand, like, that fluid comes out of those things, and obviously it hits the exhaust or the hot motor, and the shit just turns into smoke.
And all he had is, like, imagine as a little kid, like, he has a shock with a spring. You know those things you used to sit on as a little kid and you would rock back and forth?
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, that shock just turned into that. He had was a spring.
It's gone. So he gets into the worst section that it could have happened. And if you look at all the pictures, his ankles are totally bent backwards. Yeah. I don't know how he didn't pull a Tomac and just totally blow out Achilles. Yeah. But, like, I watched the whole thing unfold in front of me. And when he landed and I watched the shock explode, and there was no slow. Like, you couldn't have slowed down. There was so much momentum. I guess you could have slammed the brakes, but he doesn't know.
Yeah, he just thinks he got kicked.
Yeah, he has no idea what's happening, because the smoke is behind you, and you're looking at that whoop section that you have to focus on, and everything compresses at that point. I mean, you could just watch the bike compress from our standpoint.
You could see the back wheel chattering too. It was like,
oh, and when it compressed, and you could watch his legs just bend. It's a bucking bull at that point.
You either
it doesn't matter how much skill you have, how good you are on a bike, you're not controlling that.
That spring is going to spring.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. That wheel just bounced as it came up in the air. And if you ever look at a car that has bad struts in the back, they just bounce. And this thing just totally unloaded, and there went Kenny. And it was a gnarly hit. I'm so impressed that he got back up standing.
Yeah.
It took a while for them to get him up, but it was a terrible place to wreck, because if anybody came off of that sand section, he was right there. If anybody barreled through the whoops right behind him, he was right there. So it was crazy.
And the fact that Jet was behind him.
Yeah.
And to maintain focus, like, you're thinking, like, what's coming off his bike that may hit me?
And if you look at the pictures, like, Jet is so hyper-focused.
Yeah.
He's not looking over at the bike. I mean, his eyes could have been, but he never turned his head or anything. It's just straight focus on getting through it.
And he's
in a cloud of smoke.
And he's probably thinking, all right, one down, like, next. But Kenny was running second at this point, and we're like, okay, that's the gap. And then all of a sudden, we lose Kenny, we lose Sexton. Cooper is just out there. He's kind of on his own little island.
The gap grew quickly.
Yeah. And who went down in the sand? They were saying how good Lawrence's vision was. Okay, Tomac was taking the inside, going into the sand, drifting to the outside. Jet was going to the outside and then cutting to the inside.
Yeah.
The TV crew says, ah, you know, he made that pass because his vision, he saw those riders down. And I'm like, well, they've been taking the same line
over and over again.
I don't think Tomac could have moved to the inside.
No, I don't know who was down. I couldn't see. Like,
I never saw.
The finish line was right there in the tower. And I seen the bike down, and then I seen Tomac coming in, and it was probably too late.
Yeah, he couldn't have shifted.
Well, there was an off camber right there in the sand, and for where the line that Tomac was taking, he couldn't have seen him.
Because he was just banking hard off that and accelerating to the finish line.
And there's nothing he could have done, and obviously Jet capitalized on that. But I don't care what your vision is. When you have obstacles in the way, you're not going to be able to see. And when you're carrying that much momentum, I'd love to see somebody stop in the sand of all things.
And make a 90-degree and
shift
lines. But the point of that was, I don't think it was – I think it was a luck move. Yes, Jet has proven he has good vision. They were taking two separate lines the whole night anyway.
Yeah.
And that's how it ended up. Had those guys fallen to the inside, it would have screwed up Jet. Yeah. And then we would have seen his vision, because then we would have seen, like, can he shift to the outside?
Mm-hmm.
But once he made the pass, that's the part that got me. They're in the sand together. He was behind, pretty far behind in the sand. Tomac goes to the outside. Jet goes to the inside. And it's 10 bike lengths before they get to the finish line.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wow. And then Tomac just kind of put it in cruise, and he never tried to reattack. He didn't. It was like, okay.
Yeah, I think there was he knew there was no sense in fighting.
Yeah.
I mean, Jet was fast. I mean, fast. The lines he was taking was kind of different from everybody else. Right before the finish line, everybody was ducking inside. He would duck inside, but then veer out to the middle, and then hit it in the middle, and sometimes veer outside. He was the dominant rider by all means.
And Tomac was smiles on the podium. I think he's like, hey, dude, I'm in third now.
He rode well. Yeah. I mean, everybody thinks that Tomac should be dominating, but the field is stacked.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good field. I mean, we've had more winners than we've had in 20 years.
Yeah.
I honestly, I can't believe, I mean, Michelle and I touched on it last week, I can't believe Cooper Webb has 4 wins.
Yeah.
Like, it's shocking to me that Cooper Webb has 4 wins this year. For a guy that doesn't have the ultimate speed, he has 4 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And Tomac only has 1. Which, by the way, if you look at lap sled this year, Tomac will have some lap sled now. He led I don't know how many laps at the Triple Crown. He had no lap sled this year because they don't know how to – he has no lap sled in the stats this year until this weekend.
Yeah.
Because they don't – he won 2 out of 3 races, but he has no lap sled.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it's one of those AMA things. But no, Jet Lawrence did what Jet Lawrence needs to do. Build up another gap, points. We're going to a place that no one knows anything about, Philly.
I'm anxious to see how this plays out.
How many teams get armed guards? Because they're having like their own little battles in Philly right now.
Philly's a rough place. Like, being from PA, I've never been to Philly because I had never had the desire to go over there. We're Western PA, that's Eastern PA. And I really debated going to this race, but I don't want to fly in there, and I don't want to stay there and then travel to the race. It's just, I don't know. It's going to be kind of cool to see, but I mean, Nashville was kind of, that area was, the stadium area wasn't bad. I've been to a lot of cities, and I've seen worse, but it definitely wasn't nice.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Jason Anderson quietly got in 4th. Justin Barcia quietly got in 5th.
Yeah.
He's really touting how hard they are working on this bike. They were testing this week.
Yeah. He's getting better and better every week.
Yeah. Justin Cooper, Hunter Lawrence, another top 10. Benny Bloss, the baby giraffe, finishes top 10. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's got to make Beta feel good.
Yeah.
because they are, I think Triumph has stolen a little of their thunder, and their number one rider didn't even make it into the main. Their number two rider, they just put top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody, Justin Hill, 12th. That's actually not a bad ride for a guy that's basically his own team. I'm trying to think. Not really anything else. Chase Sexton, he says he's fine. We don't know about Kenny. He had an MRI. I'm sure he had an MRI yesterday. Won't know anything until he shows up or doesn't show up this weekend.
Seeing Cirillo in 14th was a little
disappointing.
A little down there for me.
Especially after a good performance in the heat.
Yeah, I honestly, I put Seeing Cirillo 13th for my fantasy.
Did you?
So, I mean, I was close. Brianna put Shane McElrath, which she got it. But it was, I guess if I put him there, I kind of should have expected it. But after I did it, I'm like, and I watched him ride, I'm like, he's better than that. He's going to do good tonight. He didn't. He should have been top 10.
Yeah, I think, yes. I just don't know if, we don't know the extent of the hand. We don't know what's going
on. No, I honestly, I think he's so weak that he just can't hold on for that long.
20 minutes is a long time at that pace with the intensity that these guys. But can we talk about how far up they lapped?
Oh, yeah. It was
sixth
crazy.
Place?
Yeah.
I mean, no, seventh, because Hunter did not get
lapped. For somebody, Benny or for a track that was almost unpassable. I mean, obviously they're moving over and they make it passable, but I was watching closely to that.
They lapped a lot of guys.
Yeah, it's mind blowing.
Michael Stewart, he's our local boy. He's a good kid. Are we satisfied with ninth? I understand. I don't know where he's supposed to go, but aren't you supposed to progress? He has been this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just him? That's just him.
He's so strange because he'll put on these charges where he's like right there, and then it just slacks off, and it's like he can't come back. I don't know. He shouldn't be in ninth.
Yeah,
he should be steadily getting up to the front, but I don't know.
The KTM group cannot be happy that they have five bikes potentially that they could have. They have Justin Barcia in fifth and Malcolm Stewart in ninth, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can't be satisfied. Husqvarna has been disappointing all year, minus RJ.
Yeah.
Gas, Pierce Brown is being Pierce Brown. Barcia's starting to make a move. And KTM has had their moments with Plessinger and Chase, but they didn't have anybody out there besides Chase. When Chase crashed, there's not a KTM on the track.
Hmm.
Well, there are some, but they're
not theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I don't know.
That said, I'm so anxious to come into Philly, and as much as nobody wants to go there, I don't know if we're going to get a depleted field in Philly. Not factory guys.
Yeah.
You know, as far as privateer guys, just for the lack of security.
It's a long
in the place.
It's a long haul.
But they also, you get privateers that take the risk of
having their stuff stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, their whole livelihood inside of a van. A lot of them stay in the van with their stuff, but I don't know. I'm anxious to see. I mean, we're talking a lot of crap on Philly, but rightfully so.
Well, they
so,
I mean, they were in the news this week.
Yeah.
Like it's a rough place right now.
Do you wonder if Feld is like, you know, maybe we shouldn't have done this?
Yeah.
I'm anxious to see. Obviously, I want to watch the race. I'm excited for the race, but I'm anxious to see if there's any downfalls afterwards that we hear, you know, this happened or this happened, or you know, they had got people trying to break into the pits, and well, I don't know.
The only thing real quick before we get out of here, I'm glad you guys had fun. I'm glad the kids had fun. There was a lot of talk about that you can't go back to Nashville because the track, every year it causes, the track causes problems. Sexton's was self-induced. Roxon's was mechanical. McAdoo and Levi was inflicted by McAdoo. Marchbanks was, he fell.
Mm-hmm.
And the crash that caused McAdoo's shoulder injury was a dude went to the inside and came to the outside and knocked him over.
Yeah.
I don't know The track didn't do anything.
You can say because it was so peaky. I mean, everybody was saying this is one of the peakiest tracks they've had.
They're professionals.
But that's...
Have you seen their practice tracks?
Yeah, Supercross is getting pretty gnarly. Yeah. I mean, you can say that, but I don't know how you can blame the venue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's... Dirtworks is fantastic, but maybe you... Hey, can we tame this just a little bit? Yeah. Can we not make it so peaky? Can we change this section or this? Like, the venue doesn't build the track.
No.
So I don't know where you can blame the city for the track or any of that. Besides the dirt that they bring in, you still got the same track crew building the track. So
the only thing I'll say, we're 14 rounds into a 17-round season. Maybe some riders are tired. Maybe some equipment's tired. Oh, wait, yeah. Roxanne's was brand new. You know, like, if it was rider error, then maybe they're tired. And it's tough.
Yeah.
But the track didn't cause it. Yes, there was a peaky triple. Guess what? Have you watched these guys come out of the sky on a motocross track?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean.
LaRocco's leap.
They're doing this stuff over and over and over again. Sexton's. It's a fluky thing. It's kind of like there was one race a couple years ago where a guy literally slammed on the back brakes, hit the front brake, went ass over tea kettle. Was that the track's fault?
No. I don't.
His brakes grabbed and he did a somersault. Like, we want him in domes because the dirt's not perfect. We want him this. We want the track. It's an off-road dirt sport.
This is the nature of the sport. We ride and the track's different.
Every lap.
And the conditions are ever changing. Yeah, I get it. Stadium racing. Everybody wants it to be indoors. It's Supercross should only be indoors. But
there's not that many domes.
But the outside's actually kind of fun. This weekend was cold for us. Some people was probably warm.
Yeah.
You know, there's people in shorts and tank tops there. I thought they were crazy. I had two hoodies on. But it's just part of it. It's still a stadium. No matter how you look at it, it's still a stadium.
Which, by the way, St. Louis was an indoor track.
Mm-hmm.
It was ready. Nashville and Birmingham were outdoor tracks.
Yeah.
They had dust at the end of the day.
You're still bringing in dirt from outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not covering this dirt.
So it's just tough. It is what it is. We have all been spoiled as well because we've had everybody here.
Yeah, it makes for good racing. I'm sorry, but all of this makes for good racing from a fan standpoint. It's motocross. There's going to be crashes. There's going to be injuries. The tracks are going to break down gnarly. Yeah, I mean, you're also – we actually talked about this weekend in the pits. Like, you think that some of this is the bikes are so powerful now, and you got the Dunlop, the MX-34s. Those are gnarly tires.
Yeah.
They're – huge. So can you put it on some of that? Like, you got these tires plus the power that are just ripping things to shreds.
That has been discussed. Hey, can we go to a less destructive? The guys learned to ride it.
Yeah. You know, back in the 90s, they were running almost the Dual Sport tires.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have these tires that were like razor blades, you know, just destroying dirt. It's like a rototiller on the back of a 450.
Yeah.
I don't.
And you can tell if you watch 250 and then watch 450.
Yeah.
The rut creation is way worse than the 450.
We're progressing as a civilization as it is, you know, in technology. So these bikes are progressing every year. They're looking for the most power out of these things. And they wonder why the tracks are breaking down like they are. And they blame it on venues and tracks. And let's look at the bikes for five minutes.
You're putting 65 horsepower to a tire that has knife edges.
Yeah.
It's going to do something.
It's going to tear everything. Have you ever had a tire rub up against your leg just on bare skin?
Yeah.
You know, still spinning. Even if the bike is not under power, you spin a tire to lube the chain and rub up against it. It leaves marks.
Yeah.
So now put 60 horsepower on soft dirt.
And 20 of them taking the same line.
Yeah. And expect it to be normal. I don't know. Look at the bikes for 5 minutes. That's all you got to do. I mean, that's what's happening. these tracks are being destroyed by the level of riding, the power of the bikes, the tires. There's so much, so many factors that are going into it. It's motocross.
Yeah.
Get over it.
It is what it is. But no, congratulations on getting to go. I'm glad the kids had a good time. Philly this weekend. I guess you and I will both be couch watching.
I think so.
Well, no, you're going to be at Dade City this weekend, right?
I will be at Dade City. Yeah.
It's a day race, by the way, too. By the way, it's a day race. That means 3 o'clock on TV.
Yeah. Right when practice starts for us, we still have night racing, yeah. But I think we'll be watching it Sunday. We are going. It's a busy weekend for us. We are racing Dade. We're racing Tampa on Sunday because the kids' teachers are coming to watch Tampa. So my stress level gets to be at the max because we're.
Will you leave straight from Dade to go to Tampa? Or
we're talking about taking the camper Friday to Tampa. Maybe practice a little bit Saturday morning at Tampa, loading the bed of the truck, go to Dade, race, come back to Tampa, race Tampa Sunday.
Okay.
I don't know. It's going to be exhausting. But that's what we do. Still exhausted from our Nashville trip, 12-hour drive.
Yeah.
So it's part of the game.
Hey, but we're here. We did it. It's Tuesday. We're on the pool deck. It's beautiful. We're in a cold front somehow.
Yeah.
This is not Florida weather right now.
No, but it will be today.
Yeah.
You know, we get freezing at night and hot during the day.
It is 53 degrees this morning.
Yeah. We've had, the last 2 weeks, it's been a 40-degree temperature change from night to day.
Yeah.
So, every day.
But, hey, we wish everybody that got hurt well. We hope everybody's good. Heart goes out to Matt at Active Ride because, man, the guy's been doing wonderful things. And to have something like that happen, we don't know what happened, what caused it. But, dude, you're still done great work for the team. So, whatever happens, and you will land on your feet. So,
And big thanks to HBI for letting us hang out after Ryland left.
Yeah.
We got to hang out with HBI for the night, so that was fun.
They got a good crew over there.
Slade Varola was on the podcast here. That's my oldest son's favorite rider. So he got to bring a number plate home of Slade's, and Slade signed it for him, and it was fun for them to get to just hang out with the guys that they admire, since he was so mad that we didn't have Slade here on the pool deck. Heaven forbid we didn't fly him in from California for a half an hour talk, but he got to meet him. He was happy. So, business wise, we got to do a lot of cool things this weekend. So,
yeah. By the way, HBI, the owner, team owner Matt Bell, he does these really cool little things about the track and about the team and sponsors, and does like a owner update. They wore a week ago, they wore this tractor gear, blue jeans and the flannel shirt thing.
Yeah.
Matt did his update on the way to the race, and I wasn't the only one who thought that he was wearing the uniform from last week because he had on a flannel shirt. And I was like, dude, that's the outfit from last week.
Yeah, they actually drove in from their camp in North Carolina.
Yeah.
So they went up there, they were hanging out there, and they came from North Carolina to Tennessee. So, to bear the cold weather, but no, they're and their stuff this weekend,
that's cool,
was really cool.
Yeah. Centrific,
yeah, the bikes all match the gear, and they have a really cool thing going on. Yeah. I really like the gear graphic collab. It's pretty awesome.
You're doing cool thing. So I'm glad that we have a local team that we can go learn from. So
yes, and
I'm still waiting on your thing.
And they can give us cool insights on some other stuff. So very soon, I promise.
Okay. I don't want to miss it.
Well, it might actually, we'll talk off camera here, but we might be able to,
I tried.
We might be able to do something this weekend. I got a guy that wants to be a part of it. So,
okay. All right.
See if we can throw something together real quickly this weekend.
Well, he is the original reason this whole thing started. That is Derek Schaefer with DBS Custom Handyman Services and Fabrication. I am still Trey Heath with Michelle and Trey Real Estate. I want to thank my wife for filling in last week while everybody was busy. And this was episode 52 of the Beyond the Curve, the MX podcast. We will see you guys after Philly and after Dade City and Tampa MX.
Yes.
Y'all have a good week. Bye-bye. Yeah.